So lastly, the rematch, the national championship game, the all-SEC showdown, Alabama-LSU. What's changed, Sam? I mean, why can't I just go ahead and copy-paste the 40-minute conversation we had earlier in the year? What's changed? Lay some new stuff on me here.
So I was trying to sum up how to start talking about this game, and okay. I decided, and I hope that our listeners out there are familiar with this. If you've ever played an EA Sports NCAA college football game, there's a mode in that game called Even Teams. Okay? It means if you take Alabama,
yep,
and I take UL Monroe, and I want to rep UL Monroe for whatever reason,
right,
I can do it with the same talent level, all 99s, I think, across the board, right, with every one of my players. And I can just use those uniforms, use that profile team.
If you go to UL Monroe, yeah, and you just want to play a game and actually have a chance against a team like, right, Alabama, you put on this mode, and you just have a good time. It's just two football teams, right, playing equal football, and the winner wins.
And to me, this game is as close in real life to that mode as I've seen, because the difference is so negligible in size and speed in every area that you'd look for in measurables that, to me, this game is going to become a chess match for the coaches.
It is.
I think it's going to be one of those games that if you look at the game of chess and you have a board, all the rooks, the bishops, the pawns, the knights, they're all the same. They're made of wood. You know, both teams have, you know, there's nothing there physically that's going to separate them. This is a game of chess, and I think the play calling is going to be huge, because the first thing people are going to think is there's a difference in the kicking game, and there is. And it could come down to that again. That was the difference in the last game. It could be the difference in this game. But if it's not going to be the difference in the game, then I think play calling and who wins the battle mentally from the time that they played last to this game between the coaches of how are we going to attack them different. Like, for example, Nick Saban scripting the first 8 plays on offense and doing things that LSU hasn't seen. Is it going to be that type of game? We're going to have to see something change if these teams are going to mix it up at all.
And it's two of the best coaches in the nation. I mean, we could say what we want about Les Miles, and maybe some of his teams have overperformed, but at this point, the resume speaks for itself, especially if they win this game. It's two great minds going at it. And I have to ask you about the kicking game. I've heard some people talking about the kicking game and how, does Nick Saban, on a, say, 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-3 in field goal range in this game, does he abandon the kicking game? Do you try the first few? I mean, what's the game plan for kicking?
Maybe any of the, you know, I hope it doesn't come down to the kicking game. That's the only desire I have, is I hope.
But it, how does it not in a game
it probably,
like this?
Probably will. I hope,
because, or you mean, do you hope it doesn't come down to mistakes?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't come down to mistakes. I don't want to see missed kicks in the story, because that's all we talked about from the Alabama side is, you know what, they would have won the game if they made the
absolutely
field goals. There's no
they
doubt.
Outgained them. They outgained, had more chances in the red zone.
If it comes down to missed field goals, it's a shame that we're going to have, first, for the encore of this game, that we have to have that discussion again, and second, that it's how a national title game goes. Nick Saban, and maybe he's just positioning his team mentally a certain
way. All that coaching you're talking about starts right, well before the game
and
does.
And he said there's a chance that this could be a completely different type of game, almost implying that the offenses may actually have something to say in this game. I hope that that's not just him positioning mentally his team. I hope he really means that, and that he has some things up his sleeve with his coaching staff that are other than making Trent Richardson your entire offense, both throwing and running. Because I looked at Marquise Mays. Here's a guy that is leading. He's the leading receiver on Alabama. He has almost double the yards receiving that the next best receiver, Trent Richardson, has. And in the last game, he had one catch for -6 yards, and he threw an interception. That's not good enough if you're going to have your leading receiver do that. Now, can they do anything about it? Will A.J. McCarron be any different in this game? I don't know. But if you listen to Nick Saban, he at least thinks that it's possible.
See, it's interesting, talking about Vegas over-unders again. The over-under in this game is set at 40. Which I thought is, yeah, that's very telling that maybe it's not just positioning, because obviously somebody in Vegas believes that there's going to be a bit more offense in this game, because coming off a 9-6 game, you have to assume the average Joe is thinking, oh man, 40 points, it's never going to get to that. But like we talked about last time we broke this game down, these are two top 20 offenses too. I mean, they both average over 35 points a game. So there's no question these teams are capable on offense. I think we're going to see another defensive battle. I personally think that it's fairly ridiculous to assume that Alabama is going to abandon their kicking game, which is what I've actually heard some people say. Yeah. I'm not saying it can't happen. What do I know? But I can see if you're in a 4th-and-1 situation at the 35 or 30, maybe you shorten the leash a little bit. But you can't leave points on the field against a team like LSU. You just can't do it. If you're in a position on a 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-4 to put points on the board, you have to try. Yeah. And I can understand if you have 2 or 3 misses, getting frustrated and then abandoning it. But you have to come into this game with confidence in your kickers. I mean,
you're giving them as good of an environment as you can. There's no weather that's going to affect them. I mean,
right.
You can't ask as a kicker for a whole lot more. And I just have too much respect for Nick Saban and his ability to run a program to think that an entire part of the game is going to be that atrocious that they're going to abandon it from any point on the field. That is... It's a terrible thing to think, at least, we're going to have to witness at a national championship game. I hope this game isn't decided by those kind of mistakes. But again, right now the discrepancy is rather large in the kicking game between the two teams. So
there's no question about that. So who do you have this time around?
I like the last game, and it's funny how we both picked Alabama in the last game, and frankly, we don't feel any less confident about what Alabama is capable of, because I thought they should have won the last game, to be honest. It was amazing how many field goals they missed. I have all the respect in the world for LSU, but again, we don't have to go over any of the players in the game because it's all so negligible that it's pointless to name drop and do all those things. I think that in a game where it comes down to coaching, Nick Saban's not going to get beat twice in a row, and I think they'll win the game, but it's in New Orleans, and LSU is that good, so there's a reason that it's a pick'em type of game.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel the same way. I feel that Alabama's going to win it. I think that they outplayed LSU in the last game, albeit so slightly, right. And the kicking game did decide it. The kicking game's going to be a major factor in this game, too. I mean, you can't imagine it's going to be a blowout.
Right.
I thought Alabama was the better team last time. I still do. Funny in saying that if LSU wins this game, I don't have a choice but to call them the best team I've ever seen. I mean, I just
can't. Which tells you how we feel about Alabama, too.
Right, which is why they called the last one the game of the century. And let me just say now, if you have a problem with defensive football or the way the last game was played, then just don't watch this one. There are plenty of other games on the schedule that we've already talked about.
Watch West Virginia.
Virginia, Clemson, Stanford, Oklahoma State, yeah. Wisconsin, Oregon. You're going to have plenty of offense. You have no excuse for complaining about the national championship, which is being played on a Monday.
Great.
Just do something else if you have a problem with this potentially being a 3-3 overtime game. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I thought that game was amazing, the last one we got to see. And I can only hope it's as good of a game as it was last time.
If you want, this is going to be a really strong defensive game. Again, we believe. I think we can say that, although I am tempted by Nick Saban's comments in the line in Vegas.
I think that we can both agree it's going to be a defensive game while also agreeing that doesn't have to mean it's 9-3.
Sure.
It could be 17-14 or 21-17.
Right.
I mean, there doesn't have to be a complete lack of touchdowns for it to be a great defensive game. Or we might even see a defensive touchdown in this one, which we didn't see last time.
That's right. I mean, either way, it's the kind of game that, for all the NFL fans that don't consider themselves college football fans, they often bring up the lack of defense. Watch that Baylor-Washington game and they were just shaking their heads. Watch this game. See what college football at the highest level is capable of being on defense. If that at all interests you, you'll get your fill of the highest level.
And like you talked about last time, the amount of pros on both of these teams, it might as well be a pro game.
Yeah.
And the other thing about this game, you could say all you want about the SEC and how this, you know, you could talk about regionalism like you brought up a little bit. These are the two best teams in the country.
Yeah.
It's pure and simple. These are the two best teams in the country. We're talking about LSU as perhaps the greatest team we've seen in the last decade, and both of us are picking against them.
Right.
I mean, these are the two best teams. Oklahoma State, when they won that game big over Oklahoma, the first thing I did was get on the phone with you and say, man, I might vote for Oklahoma State. They might have just done enough for me. But at the end of the day, these are the two best teams. We're seeing the two best teams in football play for the national championship. And I have to ask you, though, if Alabama wins, now obviously our thirst for a third game is never going to happen. Are you on board with this being a split championship?
A lot of people are. I've gone back and forth on it. To get back one real quick.
Yeah, by all
means. The reason that, and I don't know if this is good enough justification for people, but Oklahoma State did make me think the same thing after their blowout of Oklahoma. But when we think about what our breakdown would be like in that game right now, we would be all over how big of a joke this would be with LSU coming out way on top. And we'll never know. I mean, Oklahoma State fans are going to go, how can you say that? You'll never know. We won't know, but we wouldn't have given this much of a preview. And we're giving this one a Game of the Century Part 2 type of preview because that's how much respect we do have for these teams.
You're right.
And for that reason, maybe a split national championship makes sense. I don't like it. I don't like the idea of you're both going into the game saying this is the national championship.
Right.
And whoever wins the national championship. And then because LSU won the first game and they've looked so good, we have to pencil them in as some kind of a USC-LSU situation. I get it from both sides. I wish that we could say whoever plays well for these 60 minutes is the champ. But LSU's look so good that maybe you don't. I would say if Alabama wins this game, because we both liked the way they played outside of the kicking game in the first one, that's good enough for me to say they're the best team. But who knows?
Yeah, I would have to say it's a split championship simply because LSU, schedule-wise, they played a tougher schedule, even before they got to Georgia. They win the SEC. They have to play that extra game in the SEC championship. They crush Georgia, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're far and away the champion at this point. They've already beaten the team that they're being put up against right now. I mean, we're not going to get the perfect world scenario where Alabama wins this game. Let's play that third one for the championship that nobody can deny.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why a part of me is almost rooting for LSU here just to not have that conversation, because you're right. At the end of the day, this is the national championship. Let's put aside how the two teams got here. I mean, if you look at playoffs in any team, if you've got an 8 seed going against a 1 seed, you don't say that if the 8 seed wins, the 1 seed gets a split championship because they had a better regular season.
The best example I can say of this, when the Giants beat the Patriots, the Patriots had already beaten
the Giants.
The Patriots
should have been a split
champion. Yeah, but we don't talk about it.
No,
you know,
of course
we don't
not.
Talk about that at all. So it's a different system, obviously, but it's one of those deals where I can understand both sides, and I certainly think that Patriots-Giants scenario was a good example of this.
It's a great example. And if you're going to be one of those people that says, if you can't win your conference, you shouldn't be in the game. Well, if you can't win the national championship, you shouldn't be a split national champion. I mean, I'm just playing both sides here.
Either way, I think it's going to make for really good television, and the haters out there are going to keep hating.
Yeah, if there's one game that I could watch, it would be that one, even though it's a rematch, and even though the offense isn't going to be there like these other games. This is the game. This is the national championship, and it should be a blast.
Right.
I'm actually, after all the crap we talked about the BCS this year throughout the entire podcast, these are 5 good, evenly matched games that could potentially make a case for the BCS moving forward. Never going to be as good as a playoff, but I'm just saying it's 5 good games here.
Agreed.
So this has been the final episode of 2011 season for Running the Option. We hope you guys have enjoyed the ride as much as we have. I'm Dave Consolazio. This is Sam Sage. As always, you can email me at VegasDavesDime@gmail.com.
And you can email me at SamSage@gmail.com.
If you have any questions or comments, thank you guys so much, and enjoy the rest of your bowl season.
Take care, everybody.